Hello world, this is Esposé 247 and we welcome you again to another world of liberation.
Amen.
Even today, as the law of Moses is very well received, a veil is covered the faces of the people. Mm. But as soon as they turn to the Lord, the veils will remove. So today we ask you that you turn to the Lord so that the veils will be removed today. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So welcome to Liberty today as we continue on this conversation with the women of Samaria in John chapter 4. I think this is the 20th episode.
Yes.
So in case you don't know what we've been talking about, you've shared a lot. So that is like 20 hours of teachings and conversation on this discourse with this woman. So you go to our page and go to Bucket Ministry series.
That Exposé 247 page.
Yes, on the YouTube and the website, the New Nation website, newnation.org. And so you can go back to refresh in case you'll be listening to some of this. And if you're just joining us, you have your work cut out for you. So you have 20 hours of teachings roughly to go through. So today we want to kick off from where we stopped last time we were here. And so that
would
be...
Well, now, vivas all over the world, welcome again to this Bucket Ministry series. Now, as you may know, if you've been on our previous episodes, you would notice that we have a mandate, a mission. There's a vision that God has placed in our hearts, and it is not that we just know the gospel, theoretically or mentally speaking, but that we will draw, by the grace of God, the implication of the gospel for our lives now, in the new covenant in Christ Jesus. And we've been using the life or the discourse of the woman of Samaria that she had with Jesus. And we've been, looking at this, and we've been taking note that this discourse, this experience or this discussion between Jesus and a Samaritan woman represents a classical presentation of the gospel, even though it was something that happened before Jesus went to the cross. Yeah. But you can glean by the Holy Ghost to find out that the power of the gospel, the implication of the gospel are locked up in almost every single verse and statement. And that's what we've been doing on Bucket Ministry Series, right from the first chapter up to the 20th episode, if I may say. Follow us quickly from where we stopped in John chapter 4, verse 10. That was the last verse where we stopped.
And it's since we've been on this 10th verse,
has not released us from verse 10 of John chapter 4. I think this is the fourth episode on the verse 10 of the fourth chapter of the book of John. Now, can you read, please? 10, you can read. Well, I think we'll read all of 10 because we want to make a connection by the grace of God. Can you read that, please?
Jesus answered and said unto her,
"If
thou knowest the gift of God,
and
who it is that said to thee,
give
me to drink,
thou
wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water."
Now, the verse 10 itself presents us an opportunity to have an inroad into what Jesus himself calls the gospel. You know, today people talk about the gospel of the Lord Jesus. In fact, in some quarters, when you say gospel, they always end up thinking you're talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In fact, I mean, I think the translators of the Bible have actually helped in that confusion. They will say the gospels and the epistles. Well, that is true to some extent in the fact that maybe the reason why they title Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as the gospel was because they represented Jesus' ministry in the flesh. You know, that's why they say that. But really, that could be a bit confusing and misleading because we noticed that even in the epistles, the gospel was still being emphasized. In Galatians, the Apostle Paul said to the Galatian church, "You are soon removed from the gospel of grace to other gospels." So the gospels are all over the pages of the epistles as well. So please, when we say the gospel, we're not talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We are talking about the essence of Jesus' life, the essence of why he came, the essence of the ministry of Christ for you as a believer and for those who have not yet come into the fold. So what we are saying is this verse 10 begins to portray to us what Jesus himself calls the gospel. Now look at what he said. He said to the woman, that verse 10, "If you know the gift of God and he that said to you." Now, some translation said, "Who that said to you?" I mean, then he began to present himself as a person and saying, "Woman, you need to meet me." Can you see? He said, "He that said to you." Can you see? So he told her, "You need to know the gift of God." That is correct. We've talked about that in the past. But you need to know He. You need to know me. You need to meet me. Me, the Jesus is saying, woman, I've not just come to present principles or concepts or ideologies of how to live life. Because it could be possible that Jesus could say, woman, you know what? I could give you tenets or principles or codes by which life could be lived to the fullest. I could do that. Jesus could do that. But Jesus is saying, I want you to know the gift of God, but I also want you to meet me. He said, you need to know who or he that said to you, can you say, give me to what? To drink, and you would have asked him. Now, it would seem that Jesus is presenting and representing his person to this woman. And this is what makes Jesus completely different from any form of human religion, any form of human ways of life or human codes of ethics of living. Jesus cannot be put into that box. I'll tell you the reason. If you are a student of history, or you're somebody who is very familiar with the way things are in this world, you're familiar with people's ways of life, religions, the ism, you go to the Middle East, you go to Asia, I mean, you go to Japan, you go to South America, virtually almost every culture has some form of predominant what religion that you can find in those places. I mean, unless with the exception of countries who claim atheism, who don't believe in any God. I mean, but with those exceptions, I'm talking about most of major cultures in the God world. If you've been following our previous episodes, you would know that it is a joke if somebody says they worship nothing. It's a joke because everybody deserves or derives their meaning from something. It might not be Jesus. It might not be Buddha. Yeah. It might not be some form of codes of ethics of living that you subscribe to. But may I say to you, you subscribe to something that gives your life a sense of worth and value. That is what you worship. Because Jesus stood us in the temptation with the devil. He made us understand that only the Lord your God will you worship. Mm-hmm. And only him you will serve. How do you know what you worship? Look at what you are servicing. Look at what you are following after. But I mean, without that kind of confusion, let's just put that aside. But let's simply say, in most religions of the world, there's a basic concept. There's always one grandmaster. There's one leader of that what religion who tells them, if you do this, if you do that, if you follow this principle, you would make it into the afterlife. Or they could say, if you stick to this kind of rules or regulations I'm going to give you, if you pray in this way, if you talk in this way, if you are very good in this way, you will be able to have peace for your life. Because some who don't even believe in the afterlife, they talk about how you can achieve peace and tranquility in your soul. You know, I mean, you see that in the Western world, they tell you these are things you do, these are the ways you meditate, these are the things you think about. Today we have lots of meditations and lots of what? All these things they talk about. They say if you want to achieve soul, inner contentment, this is what you do. All of them have one thing in common. All they say is, this is what you do. That's the principle. I'm not the person. Just do the things. I'm just what here to show you the way of how to achieve what you want to what achieve. This is what most religions, virtually almost every religion, talks about. But Jesus told this woman, I've not come to ask you to meet some set of principles so you can break free from what has held you bound all these years. I'm asking you to meet me. He said, if you know the gift of God, and if you know him, if you know him that said to you, give me to drink, you will have asked what? Him. Jesus has not come to show the way. He has not come to say this is how to live life, or this is how to go to heaven. Some people have tried to reduce Jesus to that level. It's a shame. That's not the gospel. A true gospel of the Lord Jesus will present people to Jesus as a person. He said, meet me. Have you met me? He said, if you know him that sent to you, you ask him. This is what Jesus begins to present to us. That the gospel is not just Jesus showing us the way, but that the gospel is Jesus presenting himself as the way. Can you see that? John 14:6, we know that, isn't it? He said, I am what? The way. I am the truth, and I'm what? The life. I have not come to show you the way. Jesus did not come to show us the way, please. He didn't come to give us principles of how to break free from the world system. He has come to say, you need to meet me, that said to you. And that's what we found out, that every gospel that does not represent Jesus to people, but that portrays a Jesus who walks, who just gives people the things to do or principles to follow, is not the very core of gospel presentation. So John 4:10 gives us the picture of what Jesus portrays as the gospel, presenting him to that woman and presenting him to the world as a person. That's what we see there. And that is what we need to understand today. And then before we begin to continue today, I wanted to understand one thing. If you go back to, you know, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you would probably see one thing for sure, that people have always tried to, customize Jesus or bring Jesus into a particular mode and not into the mode of John 4:10, which is what Jesus wanted to portray as the gospel. For example, I mean, look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the teachers of the law. In John chapter 3, we notice Nicodemus came to Jesus. He says, "We know that you are what, a teacher." Can you see that? Coming from God. "And we know nobody does the things that you do except God," what? "Be with him." I mean, he said, "Jesus, we know that you have lots of great," what? "Teachings. You teach a lot. You have great things. You have insight." And that is what the Pharisees have reduced Jesus into. And it's not a surprise that today in our generation, we have people who have reduced Jesus, at the gospel of the Lord Jesus, into getting set of principles to living life from Christ himself. I mean, we've seen people go right into the Bible and begin to discuss success principles. I mean, is it wrong to bring success principles from the Bible? It's not wrong. It's not. Because why? If you look at Jesus, if you follow Jesus, you will get insight for living. That's true. But is that the way he said the gospel should be presented? No. He said the very core of the gospel should be presenting what? Himself to people. We've got to know who Jesus is. That is the core of the gospel. He didn't tell the woman, "If you know the gift of God that I'm going to give you." No, he says, "If you know the gift of God and him that said to you." And some people have reduced the gospel today, or the gospel of the Lord Jesus, to understanding organizational structure. If you want to learn about organizational structure, trust me, if you read the Bible, you will see how Jesus structured, how Jesus had an inner circle of disciples, how Jesus mentored what? The disciples. I was able to push them out into the world to affect a generation. Yes, you can learn these things from the scripture and from the life of Jesus. But is that the core of the gospel? No. John 4:10 says you need to know the gift of God and what? Him that said to you. I mean, some people look at the scriptures today and look at Jesus, and all they want to learn from Christ is one thing or the other. Some want to even learn how to live their life. They want to learn how to be great in life. I mean, if you want to be great in life, you can learn from Jesus. Why? He told them. He said, "If anybody be what? Great what? Among you." He told the disciples, "If you want to be great, I will show you what to do. Learn to what? To serve." I mean, I say to you, great corporations and great businesses have become successful, some of them, by learning some of the very basic teachings of what? Of Christ. But is that a call of the gospel? No. Because he says you need to know the gift of God and what? Him that said to you. So what we are trying to talk about is this. Real gospel, true gospel, would be an unveiling of who is Jesus to humanity. That is the very core of the gospel. Not Jesus' teachings, not Jesus' ideologies alone, not Jesus' expressions, not Jesus' mentalities, even though those things are good, but that is not the core of the gospel. So Jesus began to speak to the woman in John 4:10. He says, "Focus on me that said to you. Look at me." And this is the very basics of the gospel. That's what we see there. Now, as we continue, so one or two things there. Now, let's go back to that John 4:10. Now, Jesus began to say, "If you know him, that what? Said to you." Now, if I ask you a question, "Do you know me?" Or if somebody asks you a question, "Do you know who they are?" And they ask you to talk about them. Now, I presume there are so many things that we are made up of. We are multidimensional as humans. We are multifaceted. There could be so many things you could talk about people. There could be so many things you can say about them in terms of what they do or what they've been doing or what they've carried out over the years. If you know them very well, at times you might be at a loss to really say, "How does this person want me to identify them?" I'm not sure if you've been in a situation where you have to talk about somebody at a program, or they say, come and introduce a speaker, or come and talk about somebody. At times, we might get at the loss for words because maybe the person of somebody of many parts, and you're wondering, what would I say about them? I mean, because they are people of many parts. I mean, that's a bit of a confusion, isn't it? If you're meant to present somebody to people, you're thinking, what is the most important thing about them? If you have only 1-2 minutes to make that presentation, you're thinking, how do I summarize this person down to the very core of who they really are? Now, in the case of Jesus, Jesus decided to present the gospel to this woman. And Jesus did not want this woman to get things mixed up. Jesus narrowed down this identification to the very core of who he is. You know, there are times we try to identify people by what they do. People can do so many things, but they might be just be focused. Their life identity might be tied to one very major thing, even though they do other things. See what Jesus Christ said in John 14. Watch this. See what it says. He says, if you know the gift of God and who it is that said to thee. Now, what do you want? What do I want you to know about me? What do I want you to identify about me? I've done miracles. I've raised the dead. I've opened the eyes of the blind. I've multiplied 5 bread and 2 fish. I have made the poor to hear the good news. I have done great and marvelous things. But this is what I want you to know of me. This is the core. This is my mission. This is my purpose. This is the summary of who I am. This is the Jesus I want you to meet. Can you see that? This is the Savior I want you to meet. And the problem with our generation today is we have lots of presentation and representation of Christ that does not go down to the nitty-gritty of the person of Jesus Christ. But Jesus told this woman, this is the core, this is the Jesus I want to meet. Watch this. He said, with Jesus, the one that said to you, give me
to drink.
The one that said he would take the waters, the life, the nature of sin and death, the one that you have, the one that said, give me, the one that will go to the cross, the one that will bear your pain, the one that will bear the curse of sin and death upon you, woman of Samaria, the one that will take the consequence of your evil nature, the one that will go and pay the price of separation, the price of being ostracized, the price of being separated, the price of being thirsty, he that will pay the price on your behalf. That is the Jesus I want you to meet. Now, this is very important. That's the Jesus. That's the core of why I came. And that's why Jesus said in a place in the Gospels, he said, Father, let this cup what pass over me. But he said, if not as I will, but your will be done. And at the time he said, this is the reason why I came. This is the whole point of why I came, to drink this cup. Jesus is saying to this woman, even though I'm asking you to meet me, but I want to tell you the core of what I'm about. This is the purpose of my showing up in the flesh upon the face of the earth. I've done so many things. I've taught so many great lessons of leadership. I've taught great lessons of multiplication. I've even multiplied bread and multiplied fish. I've actually walked on water. I've actually calmed the storm. I've actually opened the eyes of the blind. I've actually raised the dead. I've done great things. I've even taught in the what in the temple, and I broke the word of God. I gave insight into the scriptures in Luke chapter 4. And the eyes of many were what? Fasting on me. When I teach, people know a teacher is what? Teaching. I've done great things. But woman, the Jesus I want you to meet, the one I want you to be presented to you, is the one that will eventually go to the cross and pay the price of death. That is the very core of the gospel. That is the Jesus I want you to meet. So he said, the one that said to you, give me what? To drink. This is the one I want you to relieve. This is the one I want you to keep focusing on. This is the very Jesus I want you to meet. And may I say to you, the very essence of the gospel, the very core of the gospel, the Jesus that we're supposed to continually meet in the gospel is the one that said, give me to drink. Even though he said so many things, even though he did so many things, but this is the core This is how he wants us to meet him. And that, would that make sense then? When the Apostle Paul sent the epistles, he said, when I came among you, he told the Corinthian brethren, when I came among you, I wanted to know nothing
except Christ.
Except the Jesus who was crucified. The one that said, give me to drink. I mean, the one that went to the cross and became curse, the curse of sin and death, the one that took everything that we deserve and he took it upon himself. That is the Jesus, Paul said, I want to continually talk to you about Corinthian church. So we see Jesus in John 4:10 saying, woman, I want you to continually meet this Christ, the one that said to you, give me to drink. It means Jesus must always be presented majorly in what in his death as one. Now look at the next thing. See what is the next. And you'll have what? Asked him. And you'll have given what?
Living waters.
If you were listening to our past episode, we made it clear in the past episode. We said the living waters, John chapter, I think chapter 7 or chapter 8 now, where Jesus said, chapter 7, I think, when he says, on the last great day of the feast, he made a loud shout and said, if anybody believes on me, as the scripture has said, out
of his belly shall flow.
Living waters. And the Bible says the living waters he was talking about was the spirit that he would give to them that believe, but the spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So we know the living waters he was talking about in John chapter 4:10. He's talking about the spirit of Christ that was going to release unto us. And may I say to you that the spirit of Christ is Christ himself. Because the Bible says in Romans, if anybody does not have the spirit of Christ, they don't belong to what? Christ. That in the epistles, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The spirit of Christ is Christ in person within us. Now, Jesus is saying to this woman to meet him in two dimensions. He said, meet him that said to you, give me what? To drink. Also, meet him that said to you, I'll give you what? Living waters. And Jesus is simply saying, you can never meet me in my reality unless you know me both in my death and in my what? Resurrection. When the church, when the body of Christ in our days in 21st century tries to emphasize and place focus on a Jesus who doesn't come in between these two folds, we are not presenting the very true picture of Christ. Now, to make this more serious to you, let me make it this way. On the road to Emmaus, if you know this, on the road to Emmaus, I mean, I'm not sure whether we should read that, we can talk about that. On the road to Emmaus, those two people, you know, two disciples on the road to Emmaus. I mean, we might want to read it. It's Luke 24, I think, on the road to Emmaus. I think it's Luke chapter 24, verse 32. We can read that. Luke 24, 32. What does it say in English?
And they said one to another. Excuse me. And they said one to another.
Okay. Before you read that, so let's see. You might want to read from verse 27. Let's see what it says. Verse 27.
And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expanded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Now watch this. Watch this. That was, these two men met Jesus. Jesus accosted them on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus began to unveil the things about what? About himself. Now, if you look at verse 25, what does it say?
Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of earth to believe.
Now, he says, O fools. You know, I know that's one people don't like to hear these days. When the Apostle Paul said in Galatians, O foolish what? Galatians, who has bewitched you. I mean, in God's kingdom, at times such words are warranted to wake people out of their slumber. He said, you fools, why are you thinking like this? Now continue, please.
Ought not Christ to have suffered these things?
Now watch that. So please, ought not Christ to have what? Now please put that onto the one that said, give me to drink. And continue, please.
Verse 27. And beginning at Moses.
No, before you know, that verse 26 again, please.
Ought not Christ to have suffered these things?
Give me to drink.
And to enter into the glory.
And I will give you living waters. Because John 7 says, the waters will not be given unless it was what Christ was what glorified. So he sandwiched himself between his death and his what? and his resurrection. He's saying, can't you see that that's what presents who Christ is? Now go on, please.
And beginning at Moses,
okay,
and all the prophets,
mm-hmm,
he expanded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Concerning himself. Now, have you noticed that Jesus is now presenting himself to his disciples? Isn't it amazing that these are disciples, and Jesus said, you are slow of heart and you are foolish in that you can't even see me. And he began to show them things concerning what? Himself. Watch that. Does that sound similar to John 4:10 when Jesus was presenting what? Himself to the woman of Samaria. Now go on, please.
So verse 28.
Yes, please.
And they drew near to the village whither they went,
mm-hmm,
and it's made as though it would have gone further.
Now, did they recognize who these were?
No, but they were. We might not call them disciples, they're just two people from the same village.
Yeah, but did they recognize who he was?
No.
Now, this is a bit of an issue there, because as we continue, you would notice. Now, before we, maybe you can read, let's see, maybe these people have never met Jesus before. It could be. Now, continue, please. So they don't know who this is anyway. They don't know who they were talking to. They were having a discussion with somebody who was a stranger to them. Go on, please.
But they constrained him, saying, abide
okay
with us,
mm-hmm,
for it is toward evening,
mm-hmm,
and the day is far spent.
Mm-hmm.
And he went into tarry with them.
Okay.
And it came to pass,
mm-hmm,
as he sat at meat with them,
okay,
he took bread,
okay,
and blessed it,
uh-huh,
and break,
uh-huh,
and gave to them.
Okay.
And their eyes were open,
uh-huh,
and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight.
They knew him. Oh, that does that not a bit sounds contradictory? I thought they met him in previous verses. They were talking with him, but they did not what? Know him, even though they were discussing with him. Please, at what point did they know him? What happened?
Yes, again, if you look at Luke chapter 24, verse 13, we will say that. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre and stooped down and beheld the linen cloth laid by themselves and departed, wondering himself at that which was come to pass. But verse 13, and behold, two of them,
mm-hmm,
went that same day. So those two were part of them. So that established that.
They knew him before.
Yes, they knew him before. They were the company of Peter.
Okay.
Because they came from those and they went to that village.
They came from the company of disciples.
And two of them went to that same day.
Thank you very much for pointing that to our attention. So these people had
companies
been
with the disciples
with Jesus.
Yeah.
They've been with Jesus. They've stayed around Jesus. But they did not know him when they saw him. And they were walking with him. They were talking with him after he resurrected, but they did not know it was him. And what was he doing? He was then making a presentation of himself to them. But he was careful. When he was making a presentation of himself to them, he was talking about his sufferings and his glory, his death and his resurrection. Now, Jesus limited all his explanations. Now, you want to say to me, is everything about Christ, his death and resurrection, is that all about his ministry? No. Jesus' ministry for 3.5 years was massive. The effect of that ministry was so great that John, in the last chapter, said, if everything that Jesus did and said was to be documented, now he put an hyperbole, he said, not even all the books of the world will be enough to document the things Jesus said. And did. So Jesus could have so many things he could have pointed to show them himself, and he would have told them, hey, two disciples of mine, have you forgotten? It was me that actually multiplied the 5 bread and 2 fish. Oh, have you forgotten? It was me that actually parted the what? I was the one that walked on top of what? I walked on the water. I was the one that told Peter to come if he believes. You've forgotten me. I raised up the widow of Nain, the son of the widow of Nain. Have you forgotten me? And Jesus had so many things he could have come up with to present himself to them. But Jesus limited on to only two options. he talked about his what? Suffering of his death. Give me to drink, John 4:10. And he talked about what? His glory. That's the word. I will give you what? Living waters. And Jesus was presenting himself to them so they can know him. And the Bible tells us in what? Verse 31, that their eyes were not open to know who Christ really is until the what? The broke what? The bread. Let me say this to you clearly. If you are listening to this, you cannot know or meet the real Jesus unless you meet in between understanding and living within the revelation of his death and what? Resurrection. Every presentation of the gospel that begins to place emphasis on Jesus, his life and his ministry, without representing his death and resurrection on a consistent basis, will not make you know the real Jesus. You will walk with him. You will be discussing with him on the way. You will be in his environment. You can be talking about him, but you cannot know him. He told the woman in John 4:10, if you know the gift of God and him that said to you, give me to drink, you will have asked him to give you living waters. Jesus as a person is in between his death and his resurrection. This is the core of his life. This is why he came. This is the purpose of why he showed up on the scene. And he must be known in that realm. He must be known that he is the one that became sin for us. He is the one that took the fall for us. He is the one that paid the price for us. He is the one that died as us on the cross. He must be known by his sufferings on the cross for our sake. And he must also be known by the glory of his what? Resurrection. Jesus said, this is where my unveiling lies. He doesn't lie outside those two spheres. If Jesus is being reduced to a teacher only, if he's being reduced to somebody that does mighty miracles only, if it's been reduced to somebody you can learn principles and concepts for life only from, you will might be like these people who have been hanging around him, walking on the road to Emmaus, but not knowing who Jesus really is. This is the core of his person in his death and his resurrection. That's what we see there. You want to see one or two things there? So let's go back to John 4:10. John 4:10. He answered and said, you can only know me in those two realms, his death and his resurrection. Now I want us to read something in Matthew. Please, Matthew. What we are simply saying is, knowing Jesus is knowing him in his death, his suffering, and knowing him in his glory, his resurrection. Knowing the person of Christ. Now, if you don't know him in that realm, you will know him after the flesh. You will not know him for who he really is. You will know him by the things he did in his ministry. You might not know him for who he really is until the bread is broken. You know, the reason why they broke the bread, we know in the epistles, the apostle Paul said one thing in the epistles. He said, on the day that Jesus was crucified, he said, this is my what? Body that was what? Broken for you. Until the bread was broken, they did not identify who Christ really is. Let's go through Matthew 16. I mean, I think from verse 14, Jesus began to answer the question. I think you can read from verse 14, please.
And said, some say that thou art John the Baptist.
Verse 13.
When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi,
okay,
he asked his disciples, saying,
whom
do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?
Please take note of that question, because this
is that the right pronunciation for
Caesarea Philippi? Yeah.
Okay.
He asked them a question, who do men say I am? I mean, I'm not sure if you've read this before or you've had this particular discourse between Jesus and his disciples before. And I think one question that anyone should ask, if you think about this critically, is why are you asking them the question about identifying who you are? Why would you ask them that question? Jesus knew that unless men know who he really is, they would not encounter the power in the gospel. Watch this. Because the reality of the gospel is an encountering Jesus. And just because you angerize Jesus or because you mention the name of Jesus doesn't mean you are encountering who Jesus is. If that was the case, they wrote to Emmaus, those two men would have knew that this is Jesus. So Jesus knew that people had seen him in his ministry. Jesus knew that the disciples had seen him doing everything he did. But Jesus wanted to clarify to them, not to him, because he knew what was in the heart of what? All men. He wanted them to think about what they think about him. This is the core of the gospel. He says, who do men what? Say I am. Now watch what he said. Now what did he say?
And they said,
okay.
Some say that thou art John the Baptist.
Well, some said, this is the summary of who you are. This is what we think you are. And then I know some of us today are not saying you are John the Baptist. If I may say this to you, the reason why they call him John the Baptist is because they saw some things that were parallel between the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of John the Baptist. And if you ask me, what are those things? For example, the bath of John the Baptist was prophesied by an angel, isn't it? And also Jesus' bath was prophesied by what? An angel. You see that? And also you would notice between Jesus and John the Baptist, just the way John the Baptist rebuked those religious hypocrites, the Pharisees and the Sadducees,
the king,
and he rebuked them and called them to repentance. And Jesus also came and said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So you see parallels. And they said, well, if Jesus is actually rebuking the Pharisees and rebuking the Sadducees, just like John the Baptist was doing, and if Jesus' bath was prophesied by an angel, divine bath, even though John the Baptist's bath was not by what? Was not by a virgin, but they saw parallels in what Jesus was doing and in what John the Baptist did. And they came to a conclusion. Well, this is John the Baptist. This is the ministry of John the Baptist. Now, did Jesus do things similar to John the Baptist? Oh, yes, he did. But is he John the Baptist? No, he's not. So it means these people have been seeing Jesus probably for a few years, and this is the conclusion they came to. And they came to that conclusion because of what they saw indeed. Now, please, I want you to think about yourself. I want you to think about your life being the body of Christ. I mean, in what way have you come to meet Jesus? Have you met the real Jesus? Or are you worshiping or walking with a Jesus that you have defined by the things he did in the gospel? Have you met the real Jesus? I mean, that's the question. Or have you begun to identify Jesus just by the things he did in the gospel? Or have you begun to identify Jesus by the fact that you saw the things he did and said, these are the things I can connect with. This is the Jesus I know. But Jesus is querying and asking the question, is that really who I am? Is that the summation? Is that the core of my person? That's what they say it was John the Baptist. That's what some people said. Sincere people. Now go on, please. What is the next thing that he said about it?
Verse.
No, you said John the Baptist. What again?
Some Elijah.
Well, some said Elijah. Well, of course. There's a good reason why some thought it was Elijah. I mean, if you think about it, Malachi prophesied the coming of what? Elijah. Elijah was prophesied by Malachi. And so Old Testament prophets prophesied the coming of Elijah again. And Jesus was also prophesied to be coming as the Messiah. So when they saw Jesus, they said, well, if Elijah was prophesied to come in the last days, and this Jesus, the Messiah, was also prophesied, could this be Elijah? And you see Elijah as well, he challenged the God of Baal, isn't it? He challenged the false prophets. And you see Jesus rebuking the false priest and rebuking people that are engaging themselves in false religion of his day. This is what Elijah did in all his ministry. Elijah was a man that was always at the onslaught against false religion. It is this Jezebel spirit, the spirit of witchcraft, false religion, presenting itself as God. Elijah was about dismantling these things. And we saw Jesus, who showed up, not just preaching the gospel alone, but also was going after false religion. He was smashing down. He went to the temple and he threw everything out. That is characteristic of Elijah. Jesus did things that were very similar or unparalleled to what Elijah did in his ministry. And these people said, that is the Jesus we are meeting. So every time they saw Jesus, they would say, oh yes, that is just Elijah's ministry. May I say this to you? they've not met the real Jesus. People hanging around Jesus, but don't know who really he is, because they are defining Jesus by the very things he was doing. But Jesus did so many things. Jesus performed so many things in the gospel. But not all these things define the core of his person. Jesus is inviting humanity to meet him in his death and his resurrection, to know who he really is. If not, we will not identify who he is. What we end up doing is identifying Jesus in the flesh. And if that's not the reality of who he is, what does the next thing say?
And how does Jeremiah, or one of the prophets...
Well, some say Jeremiah. I mean, I understand why they would say Jeremiah, because Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. I mean, you read the book of Jeremiah. I mean, if you notice, Jeremiah also had a prophecy before his birth. He was prophesied before his birth. Jesus also the same. And Jeremiah received the word of the Lord even in his, you know, in the womb. Same thing with Jesus. I mean, also Jeremiah wept over Israel. Can you see? He wept over Jerusalem. That's why you read the book of Lamentation of Jeremiah. We saw Jesus weep over what? Jerusalem. And people saw the kind of heart, the weeping prophet. John, is it John 11:35? Jesus what? Wept. They saw the weeping, the man of sorrows. In fact, may I say this to you? If you go and read the book of Jeremiah and the Lamentation of Jeremiah, Jeremiah was a culmination of a man of sorrow, always weeping and lamenting. And this is the Jesus' ministry was actually a portrayal of this. We saw him weep at the grave of Lazarus, and we saw Jesus weep over Jerusalem. We saw him become sorrowful. Can you see? That's the point. You see the rich young ruler, when he went away, Jesus looked at him, he loved him, and he felt this compassion. See, the Bible will talk about Jesus, he looked at a multitude and had compassion on them. This was kind of that they got Jeremiah. You couldn't find this with Isaiah. You couldn't find this probably with Elijah. Elijah is not the kind of man of sorrows. No. But this is the man of sorrow, Jeremiah. So they came to a conclusion. If we saw Jesus doing things like this, this must have been the person that he is. And this is something who said, you are what? You are Jeremiah. Were they wrong? Well, they identified Jesus by the very things he was doing. And may I say this? We have all ministries that have been built today. Whole organizations have been built today who have decided to tabernacle with taking pieces of what Jesus did and said in the scriptures. I say, well, these teachings of Christ and these things about Christ's ministry, we can learn this from Christ, and they build all structure around the things that Jesus said and did in his what? Ministry. But all these things are still outside the peripheral of his death and his resurrection, which is where he said, that's where you can find me. You can't find me anywhere else. You might find things I did outside those realm. You might find things I said outside those realm. But if you want to know me, you will only know me by the breaking of the bread in the death and resurrection. That's why today we have so many Christians walking with Jesus, like Ruth and Myers, talking, been there for years, but their eyes are not yet opened to have the revelation of who Christ really is. Because his knowing and coming to know him is only within those two faces of his death and his resurrection. So in John 4:10, he told the woman, you need to meet him that said to you, give me to drink, and ask him to give you living waters. That is where you can find him. You can't find him outside that. That's where he is. That's where I am. He's telling the woman, that is where I will be if you want to find me. Find me in the asking of water and the giving of water, in my death, in my resurrection. That is where I'm sandwiched. That's where you can find me. You cannot find me outside. You might see things I did outside. You might come to know me as a teacher. You might come to know me as a great leader. You might come to know me as somebody with great principles. But if you want to know me, find me in my death and my resurrection. That's what we see. So you see these people identifying Jesus by things that are correct, but yet they miss the point of who Christ really is. That's what we see there. You want to say one or two things there?
Yes, I think today that the church, the body of Christ, needs to come out from all these identifiers and the good labels that are not really the central that Christ will want to be introduced, Christ will want to be known for.
Mm.
Because we need to also correct ourselves when we meet a great man, we meet a man of a ministry, and they ask him to introduce himself among so many things he has done all his lifetime achievement. When he has 1 minute or two, we really need to pay attention to that 1 minute or two. That's the summary of his own life. No matter what we have, we could have written something about him. And so we need to pay attention to those, what he is drawing out of it. And so, and that is why we need to come off from all these good labels. It's because some are personally seen the Lord only as a provider, in which He is a provider.
Oh, yes.
He's a teacher. He is all these things to so many people, just like they saw Elijah in Jesus,
which is
true. Jeremiah in Jesus.
Which is true.
But that is the way He wants to be known.
I said, that's not me. I did those things, but that's not me.
But there's a way He wants to be known. And that is why, that is very, very important for us. And so we should not be obstinate and say, no. I like this part of you, and I'm just going to see you that particular way. No, He wants to see me in this light. And that is what is getting across to us today. That we see Him in the light of His resurrection. That we see Him in the light of the one that is giving life-giving water.
So the as one long asking as, for water, the one giving water.
As long as you're seeing Him as the one that is just making the way. And so He wants you to see Him beyond that, beyond His provision, beyond the healings. He wants you to see Him there beyond the religious activism. Because some people, that is all they see of Jesus alone. See Him beyond the sanctifier. And see Him as He's the life-giving one. It's the one that is the resurrection. And so today we need to correct ourselves in the light of this revelation of who Christ is as we turn to the Lord. These veils of wrong identifications and labels have been torn today.
Thank you for that. I mean, I'm not sure if you've heard people say we need to have a revelation of Christ, or we need to know who Jesus is. People give teachings and give titles and say we want to know Jesus. You know, those Greeks, they came and they said, sir, we will meet what?
Jesus.
Yes. People want to know Jesus. And people want to, may I say, according to the scripture, we now know that knowing Jesus is not you going to be reading the Bible to see all the things that Christ said and did, and you want to familiarize yourself with the words and the sayings of Christ. You might know the things He said and did that way, but if you want to meet the real Jesus, He said, go and find me in my death and my resurrection. You will see the core of my being. You will see what I am all about. You will see the very essence of my person. You will meet me. You will encounter me only within my death and my resurrection. This is what the revelation of Christ really means. So it's not something ambiguous or vague. It's always says, oh Father, if you are praying a prayer today, Lord, show me yourself. People pray prayers and say, Lord, reveal yourself to me. When you pray that prayer, what you are inadvertently saying is, Lord, unveil and make clear to me your death and your resurrection. That's what you're saying. That's where we'll find Christ. Now go on, please.
Verse 15.
Yes.
That is, I'm reading Matthew 16:15.
Okay.
He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am?
Now whom say you? I mean, what do you say about me? Now go on, please.
Verse 16. And good. Simon Peter answered and said,
okay,
that the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Now watch that. This is very important. Very important. Simon Peter made a statement to say, well, I think I know who you are. And I wanted to know how Simon Peter identified Christ Jesus. So what Peter simply did was, Peter thought about it. Let's think about it. The Elijah label was a good label because it did the things Elijah did. The Jeremiah label was a good label because he did things Jeremiah did. The John the Baptist label was a good label. As we have explained a few minutes ago, he did the things that John the Baptist did, but that's not who he is. Can you see? He did those things, but that's not a summation of who he is. So Peter then disregarded all this identification in the flesh for Jesus and said, I know who you really are. I know the essence of your person. I know how you want us to meet you. I know how you want us to know you. I know. What do I know? I know you are what? Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, who is Christ? The book of Acts tells us that it's Jesus whom you what? Crucify. You want to read that, please? Because we're going to come back to the response of Peter. Let's go to John, book of Acts, please. I want to now hold on to the Matthew chapter 16. Hold on to that, please. We're just going to read Acts and we'll see what that says. I think Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Now watch this. What did Peter identify? Simon Peter, what did he identify about who Jesus really is? Go on, please.
Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly.
Let everybody be convinced about this statement. Go on, please.
That God had made that same Jesus.
God had made a Jesus, the Jesus whose ministry was similar to Elijah, the Jesus whose ministry was similar to Jeremiah, the Jesus who was a great teacher, the Jesus that you can learn success principles from, the Jesus that you can learn the principles of this or that from, if you want to make it, if you want to be a great person, you want to be a great leader, you want to be somebody who is breaking forth, you want to be somebody who is successful, you want to be somebody who is this or that, there are so many things you can glean from Jesus, that same Jesus that you saw and knew. He said, watch this now. What happened to him? God has what?
Whom you have crucified.
The one you crucified. The one that took the waters from you that said, give me to what? To drink. That Jesus. Now, that is the Jesus that you crucified. What happened then?
He has made him both Lord and Christ.
So it means when Simon Peter said, I know you are the Christ, Simon is saying, I know how you want us to know you. I know the very core of your identity. I know you are the one that will be what? Crucified. And you are the one that will what? Resurrect. Because we saw that in Acts 2 verse 36, it says it's the one Jesus that they crucified, that God made him to be what? Lord and what? Christ. So what Peter identified about Jesus was not even something that's happened as at that time. So Peter again is now telling us, I know you. That it is in your death and your resurrection that I can talk about the reality of your person. I cannot even talk about you outside those things. Identification of Jesus, knowing who Jesus is, the very essence of the gospel. We must always continually meet the Savior that said, give me to drink. And the same him that said, ask of me and I give you living waters in his death and his resurrection. So every teaching, every exposition of the scripture, that begins to unfold and unveil to you the implication of the death of what? Jesus, his crucifixion. Like Apostle Paul said, that I want to know nothing except Jesus and him what? Crucified. Every exposition that emphasizes the death of Jesus, any exposition of the Word of God that emphasizes the resurrection of Jesus, is an exposition presenting the reality of who Jesus is. It means every emphasis, every exposition or teaching that does not emphasize his death and his resurrection can be talking about him, but not unveiling him. That's what we see in the Word of God. And we see that. Now, you want to say one of these?
Yes, I'm very drawn to these statements of Peter in this Matthew chapter 16.
Okay.
So it's so pertinent that we go back to that because we know that Peter, as a person, as one of the disciples, is very close to Jesus, as one of the three. And we know that he had his privilege to have some private dealings. And we know this kind of people, if we put Peter in our days, we know how we take people that are very close. You know, they have almost like the same authority and power as the people, like the personal PA of all these great people, this great leader. You know how important it is. And people can even make a fortune out of their personal privileges of what they are into about them. People want to know the great leader, you just need to go the closest to them. Because they highlight the prior, the PA, then you get to know much about it. And some of them go off to tell us, write a book, this, tell it all about who they are. And because of they are energized by some personal dealings, privileges of what they have watched them do. And so we know that from all the scriptures, we know that Peter has some unique interactions, and we see Jesus interaction with Peter, even with his family. So Peter had some knowledge of Jesus. He had experienced Jesus as the one that provides Peter to the net breaking. He didn't know Jesus some kind of miracle in which some of the disciples came late into that he personally benefited from. He has seen Jesus come to his house to settle down domestic infirmity in which the mother-in-law. So he has some of these things. And we see people today, they could have been using that. Peter could have been using those evidences or those private interactions of exposition of who Jesus is and be telling. And this opportunity, I say, yes, it's a net breaking, fish supplying, you know, business boosting God. This it can help you to solve your family problem and the sort of light based on it. And we see that Peter was not going to talk this way because we've seen so many people who have elevated the personal intervention of God in their lives, so they elevate some of their dreams, elevate the revelations that the Lord has given them, and places above the true revelation of who Christ is when they have the opportunity to speak for Him. And so today we see people who based on what they have seen of God, what the Lord has done it personally for them, they have pushed those agenda, they have pushed those revelations above the Word of God. I say, yes, I have a dream, and so I have a commission, I have God's word that said this to me on this day, and so they elevate that. We're not saying they are bad, but they elevate that above the true revelation. But we saw that Peter would just discountenance all those things, as great as they were. It was so wonderful. It was, we saw the net breaking, it was so much for him to handle. He was saying, get away from me, for I'm a sinner. So it's not like it was something light. But yet he chose to see Jesus as who He actually is beyond us. And that is a test for us today. That no matter what is our personal revelation, intervention in our life, in our finances, the way it is, which is very good and great, and we commend the Lord for. And when we have the opportunity to speak for Him, to show Him who He is, that we'll go beyond the peripheral. We are going to get to and discountenance that in the light of who He actually is.
Thank you for that. God bless you for that insight. Now, I may want to make a statement, which we might have to clarify later on, just based on what you said. Unless we revolve around death and resurrection, it's not the gospel. I repeat, it's not the gospel. I mean, you've mentioned things. Jesus makes way where there's no way. He would multiply 5 bread and 2 fish if you believe Him. It's not the gospel. I mean, this woman of Samaria was in a condition at that time. She was in a situation where she was being a victim of the culture, a victim of men, a victim of the environment. She was subjugated. How do we know that? In fact, she was a woman of shame because she had to come to the well at what? 12 noon, using our own modern day context to read, because it's the 6th hour
of the day.
If such a person will come to a pastor or somebody, minister of the gospel in our days, they will present something of the gospel. Because I mean, Jesus could have said, woman, okay. I think you are in a condition where we need to break that that mold. I mean, that everything that is holding your husband bound, I mean, I'll release the power of God so that somebody can love you for who you really are and stick with you. But he just knew it wouldn't be the gospel, even though the power of Christ can make it happen. I mean, if Jesus' power can raise the dead, the power that can multiply 5 bread and 2 fish, trust me, that power can make a husband available for that woman. He could have done great and mighty things, which is what he's able to do. But what he did was, he presented what? Himself. And said, you will find me in death and resurrection. Woman, you need to meet him that said to you, give me to drink. You need to ask him that is saying to you, I will give you what? Living water. Meet me there. Find me. Know me. I know your situation. I know you are in a terrible mess at the moment. Maritally speaking, the culture, you are the outcast of the culture. I know you have conditions at the moment, but I will not give you anything other than the gospel. This is where the problem is. What we call the gospel today is not the gospel. And there's a reason. Because we do many things in the name of Christ. We exercise power and grace, in quotes, in the name of Christ. But people are not meeting the real Jesus, because the real Jesus is only sandwiched in his death and his resurrection. That's why we can simply say with all boldness, by the word of God, that anytime people emphasize all those things, they are not presenting the gospel, because the gospel is only the death and the resurrection. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. And I think there are no situations that men have found themselves, there are no conditions people have found themselves, that gives us enough excuse to deviate from the core of the gospel. I'll tell you, like I said, the woman was in a terrible situation, but that did not stop Jesus from presenting what? Himself, in between his death and resurrection, to this woman. as we'll see.
Because of time, we'll not be able to go on with this, but let us not forget that Jesus was talking to these disciples, people that know him, and asking about, who am I? To you. So he's not talking to people outside the fold. So some people might be wondering, yes, I know Jesus, this message is not for me, it's for those people who want to come. So this is so important for us, for those people who have tabernacle with Jesus, those who have been labeled as the disciples, those who have been in ministry.
Mm.
Like, you can, I don't think you can be in greater ministry than the way Peter was with Jesus.
Mm.
Was it that the inner caucus?
Mm.
And so he was still asking them, who do you think the disciples, those two men that came from that village of Emmaus, they came from they were so close that they went to the tomb. So it's from them that they departed. So they were part of these things. They knew these things. They were even ready to tell Jesus stories.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you know this and this and this? They still, and yet, we still, they do not know Jesus. So we are calling you today that you will know him, the one that says,
give me to drink.
And I will give you living water. So mm-hmm. you meet the resurrection and life today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you have known of him all these years. You know, you may have those years up your sleeves of what you have talked about him, have showed him to the world about, but that today you would sit back and come to know him, not as Elijah, and come to know him not as John the Baptist, not to know him as one of the prophets, the great prophets and the miracle worker, that you will see him as the resurrection and the life. You will see his death in him being crucified. And so you'll be able to say, no matter what, no matter all this testimony, and say, okay, guys, all these testimonies are good, but I just want to hear Jesus being crucified today. That is where I hope we'll come to the body meetings and where we just say, oh, we just want to hear him, Jesus crucified. We want to hear him and see that in testimony, not only about appointment and all this, as good as they are. I just want to know this, that is vital. So till we see you next transmission, where we continue, are we true from this verse 10?
No, we're not. We're going to be going back to Matthew 16. Anyway, because we've not finished with that yet.
Okay, well, because of time, we'll encourage you to come and join us again as we do this transmission on this conversation with Jesus and with this woman. So please, should you have any questions or comments or any clarification, please just hit our page. And please do share this around. I want you to leave this church and begin to live in the knowledge of Christ, who is the resurrection and is the life. So bye.
Bye.